Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want us to start out in the book, the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. All right. Hallelujah. And I just, seeking the Lord over this morning, I prepare for these services, just like I do when everybody's here. You know, right now we just got a skeleton crew here to have the service today, and hopefully we're changing that really soon, and we'll be letting you know when we're coming back to regular service, and we'll talk about that later on. But let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning, and as I was just praying about the service today, it's like the Lord put on my heart to preach this, the battle, let's say it this way, the battle's the Lord's.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say, the battle's the Lord's. Or you could say, the battle is the Lord's. And we're going to talk about that. Let's go to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And, it'd be good to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to do that. But I am going to read a number of verses, at least from 12 to 25. So let's go there. And bear with me. Let's just read a little bit here. Let me give you the background so that we understand what we're talking about. Jehoshaphat, who's king of Judah, has gotten word that a great army or armies, plural, is coming against him, and he realizes they don't have the numbers to defeat these people. There's nothing that they can do in the natural to win, and so he does the right thing. He doesn't call for help from some other country. He goes to the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know the Bible says cast all your care on the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. It doesn't say cast all your care on your brother and sister, or cast all your care on your pastor because he cares for you. Well, I do care for you, but there's some of your things I couldn't solve, but God can. Amen. So that's where they're at, all right? There's this great multitude, and Jehoshaphat is praying. He's talking to God, and I'm going to cut in on the middle of his prayer just to save us a little time so we can maybe talk about some other things, look at some other things. But let's just begin at verse 12. He said, O our God, will you not judge them? Talking about this multitude that's coming against him. For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Have you ever felt like that? I don't have any might. Well, sometimes we are like that. We don't have any way to solve it, but thank God, God does. We have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do. I mean, sometimes you just don't know what to do. But here's the good thing. But our eyes are upon thee. Hallelujah. Come on, say amen. And all Judah, verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord. That's a good place to stand if you're going through trouble. They all stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. During this coronavirus, I've heard some of the vilest things said by people that really don't know what they're talking about. Like, God can't help us in this. We got to bail ourselves out. Well, I don't want on your team. Just put me down on the other team. I don't want on your side. I want God on my side.
Amen.
Are you with me now?
Yes.
And there's a lot of religious thinking, a lot of foolishness that's being said out of people's mouths that someday they're going to regret saying it when they finally wake up. People are saying, well, God can't fix this, and God didn't help us, and God didn't do this, and why isn't God stopping it? Well, let's just be honest about this. God was told to get out of our country by our leaders. He was told to get out of the church, get out of the government. And now that we got trouble, we want him back in to help. I tell you, he'll help people. He's merciful. Thank God for that. But, you got to approach him the right way. The Bible says enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. You're not going to, you got to do it the right way. And we're going to talk about how to turn our battles over to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This, I don't know how, I'm not up on music like, a musician would be, but I know it's not a very old song. It talks about this is how I fight my battles. Well, we fight our battles by letting the Lord fight them for us. Amen. Now, so verse 13 again, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathaniah. Okay, that's enough. Let's get to the point. Levi, you know, when they would, Old Testament, they'd give you their genealogy because it mattered to those people, but it doesn't mean a whole lot to us. A Levite of the sons of Asaph came the Spirit of the Lord. Hey, that's what counts. Yeah. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hey, what he says is what matters. Right. Amen. Yeah. You don't know what CNN is saying or CBS or ABC or even Fox or anybody else or doctor this or doctor that. We appreciate what the doctors are saying. Don't misunderstand me. But the final say is the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. No disrespect to any of the medical communities who's helping us out. We should pay attention. But my point is this. I'm saying the final word on anything is the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord came, the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord's saying. Thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid or nor dismayed by this by reason of this great multitude. Notice this, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's where I got this at, right here out of Chronicles. God, the Spirit of the Lord said, the battle is not yours, but God's. Well, I don't know about you, but God's going to fight my battle. I'll let him have it. But, you know, hear what I said. You got to let him have it. Right. Amen. Now, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I want to finish reading this out. Notice it says, tomorrow, go down against him. Notice it didn't say, go home and sit on the couch. You got your part to do. Right. Tomorrow, go down against him. Behold, but don't depend on your part. You know, God said, tomorrow, go down against him, but don't depend on that. But you go ahead and do that. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. And Jehoshaphat, now here's their response. And this is, when the Lord says he wants to fight our battles, here should be our response. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. How many of that ought to be our response? If God said, I'll take care of it, we ought to start shouting. Right. Hallelujah. I mean, that'll be our response instead of, well, we'll see. You know, I'll be if I'm going to hold on part of my care just in case God doesn't take care of it. No, you ought to immediately right there shout.
That's right.
Hallelujah. When I was younger, you know, I don't know how long this show's been on, but it's been a long time. There was a game show called The Price is Right. You ever see some of those people, they get their names called? I mean, they shout and they haven't won a thing yet. Amen. I used to watch those, you know, as a kid. Mom would watch those game shows, you know, and the soap operas. She quit that when she got born again. But she would watch those things, you know. And I'd see some of the game shows. Like, I remember one of my favorite ones was Let's Make a Deal, Monty Hall. But anyway, that's over some of y'all's heads. But anyway, verse 19, it says they praised the Lord. Now, verse 20, it says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood, and he said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, this is the king exhorting them as they're going to battle. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So if you're going to be established, you've got to believe the Lord. You got to believe, what's he saying? Believe his prophets. Believe what was just said. Believe that. He says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Thank God his mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad of that?
Yes.
I'm telling you, man, his mercy has been tested by the way people live today, but he's still got abundant mercy. Hallelujah. Thank God. And notice this, verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise. Notice that. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir. which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now listen, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. Isn't that interesting that when these people began to, when these people gave the battle to the Lord and they began to praise Him, that their enemy went crazy? They started killing one another. They came down there to kill Judah. They came down there to attack Judah. And Judah just turned it over to God. You know, God can confuse the enemy like that. Hallelujah. In a heartbeat. Amen. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Verse 25, I like this. Are you ready to shout? When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. I have written in my Bible, what a great victory. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, they went from, you know, a place of consternation to a place of great victory just because they turned the battle over to the Lord. Hallelujah. He's able to do more. Now, the only way you're going to turn your battles over to the Lord is if you actually believe what Peter said. Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, you have to believe He really cares for you, or you're not going to turn it over to Him. I mean, if somebody that I knew, and I knew him well, and they said, Pastor, don't be concerned about your house payment this month. I will make it for you. I'm going to get it for the rest of the year. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say, well, okay, well, when I see it, I'll believe it. I mean, that'd be rude. I said, that'd be rude. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to shout. I'm going to think about what I'm going to do with the money I'm not using for the house. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy the spoils. I'm going to enjoy the victory. See, because that's just a person in natural. I trust them. How much more should we trust our Heavenly Father when He says, casting all your care upon me, for I care for you? That's right. Yeah. I mean, we should just readily give it up to Him and give the battle to Him. Now, here's the thing. The battle's the Lord's, but the Lord doesn't have the battle unless you give Him the battle. That's what people don't know. Well, if God's so strong, if God's so powerful, if God's so loving, if God's so concerned, why didn't He take care of this? Well, He's not going to take it away from you. You're going to have to give it to Him. Right. People don't know that. People don't realize that. I mean, and it's understandable that sinners wouldn't know that. It's understandable that they wouldn't, but church people ought to know this. Church people should know that you got to cast it over on the Lord. Church people got to know that you got to give it to Him. He's not going to just take it. You got to give it to Him. He told us what to do, right? And so if we don't do what He said do, then the only person to blame is us, right? So, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know why the Lord's, you know, if the Lord loves us and the Lord cares for us, why isn't He taking care of this? Well, He does love you. He does care about you. He does want to take care of you. But did you know Jesus even Himself said, you got to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, don't worry about it. King James says, take no thought. Don't take the thought. Don't worry about it. Well, if you worry about it, then who's handling it? You know, the Lord said to me, I'll never forget, this has been years ago. He said, well, how did He say it? Well, He spoke on the inside of me. But, you know, sometimes when God speaks on the inside of you, it is so strong, it's almost like you heard it audibly, even though I didn't hear it audibly. But it marked me. You know, I don't go around saying the Lord said this, the Lord said, you all know me. I've been pastoring you. This year will be 25 years. So I think, you know, I'm not fly by night. I'm not running out, and I'm not changing churches every other week. You know, and I'm not goofy, okay? Now, if you don't know me, you don't know. But the point is I'm just simply saying I got a track record to prove. I just don't go around and say, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me. But the Lord did say to me, I'll never forget it. It's been several years ago. He said to carry the care of something is to be responsible for its outcome. So if you're going to carry it, you're responsible for how it turns out. But if you give it to me, hallelujah, He said, I care for you. I'm responsible. I'd rather have God responsible for how things turn out, wouldn't you? Amen. And so there's things in life that we have to turn over to the Lord. Amen. Now, let's go to Psalm 127. Oh, this is a good scripture too, Psalm 127. Just talking about the battles of the Lord's. Hallelujah. I can't wait till we're all back together, but until then, I want to remind you, man, that you don't have to fight your battles. Amen. That doesn't mean you lay on the couch and, you know, you just watch TV all day long and, you know, God's going to take care. No, you got your responsibility to pray and to believe God and to use your faith and do what you know to do. Amen. Don't get silly on me, all right? Don't get foolish on me and think, well, you know, well, I don't even have to go to work now. God's going to provide for me. No, he said if you don't work, you don't eat. And like my friend Ingolf Schmidt from Germany said, he says, the more you like to eat, the more you should work. Or maybe he said, the more you work, the more you ought to be able to eat. I don't know, but I don't know if that's, you don't want to push that too far, right? But how many understand that we have our part to do, but our part isn't to carry the care and the load of it and to worry about it. Right. Our part's to cast it over on the Lord. Right? You know, if you're looking for a job, cast that over on the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you sit home on the couch and wait for a phone call. You go do your part. You know what to do. You go look for a job. You put in applications. You send in resumes. You do those kind of things. But the results of it, you leave it up to God. You cast it over on the Lord and let him take care of it. You do your part. That's what God told, Judah here. He said, tomorrow, go out against them. Go ahead and go out against them. He said, but the battle is mine. I'm going to win it for you. Hallelujah. Yes. I like that. Yes. Amen. Now, Psalm 127 says this. I like this. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, I didn't say that they didn't labor, but it was in vain if the Lord's not in it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early. Don't you like that scripture? Hallelujah. Don't take that too literal, by the way. He's talking about it's vain for you to rise up early with worry. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. What is he saying? Well, he's simply saying, the psalmist is saying, look, if God can't keep your life, you sure can't. If God can't take care of it, you sure can't. So it's vain for you to watch if you're not going to cast it over on the Lord. It's vain for you to build if you're not going to cast it over on the Lord. If God's not in it, if he's not going to help you, then all you're doing is just vain. It's just vanity. We have to learn. See, David said it like this. I like this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, anybody remember that? You don't even have to be a church person to know this one. Just go to a funeral. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What's the word want mean? Lack, need, be without, right? So think about it this way. If the Lord is truly shepherding you, if you're letting him fight your battles, you're not going to be living in a place of lack. You're not going to be living in a place of need. And when I talk about lack, I'm not just talking about money. Money's just one part of it. I'm talking about lack. Lack of peace, lack of joy, lack of spiritual blessing, right? Lack of favor, whatever it might be. We read that, we say, I shall not want. We just think of material things. But that there's a lot more to life than material things. Amen. You know, I thank God for material things. I got material things. You know, everybody's got things. You know what I'm saying? And that's good. Jesus said, all these things will be added unto you. So God doesn't care about you having things. But there's a lot more to life. I'd rather have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm like Wigglesworth said one time, or at least I heard he said, that he'd rather have the anointing for 5 minutes than the world with a fence around it. Well, if you've ever been in the anointing, you understand that it's a lot sweeter than the whole world. Amen? So when the Bible says, if the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack, that's talking about spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, in all areas. Now, the problem is we can have areas of our life where we turn things over to the Lord, but then there may be other areas we don't turn that over to the Lord. And if he doesn't have that area, then he's not responsible for that area. Are you seeing what I'm saying now? See, I'm talking about letting the Lord fight your battles. You have to give the battle to the Lord if He's going to be able to fight it. If you don't give it to Him, He can't fight it.
Right.
You have to actually give it to Him. You have to turn it over. As Peter said, and Peter said it in the New Testament a really good way by the Holy Ghost, he said you got to cast your care over on Him. You got to cast it over on Him. Now, how many know sometimes casting your care over on the Lord, you have to fight to do that? See, what did Paul say the fight we fight is? The good fight of, come on, let me hear you, of faith. So what's that? That's the fight to stay in faith. Because the devil knows faith is the victory that overcomes the world. He understands faith breaks his dominion over your life. You got saved by faith. You came out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by faith. So he understands faith is the force, is the power that destroys his dominion. Jesus said to many people, your faith made you whole. So he understands that. So he fights to keep you out of faith. So the fight we fight is not the fight to win our battles. We cast that over on the Lord. The fight we fight is to stay in faith. Now, I grew up, you know, as a kid, you know, how things were a lot different in those days than they are now. I like a lot of things I like a lot better today. Some things I don't. I don't like the morality of our country today like I did back when I was a kid. But the conveniences, oh yeah, I like the air conditioning. I like the garage door opener. You know, like today it was raining. I couldn't have went anywhere if my garage door didn't open. I mean, if I had opened myself, I'd have got wet. Well, we couldn't do that. No. I'm having fun with you. But have you understand? I like these modern conveniences that we have. I mean, if you'd have told me as a kid or a teenager even that one day you could watch TV on your phone, I wouldn't have thought not in my lifetime you won't. Not while I'm alive. But here we are. You can watch TV on your phone, on your watch. I mean, the phone we had, it was connected, fastened to the wall. You only went as far as the cord was, you know. That's it. And so, you know, a lot of things are a lot nicer. But I remember, you know, back when I was a kid, we didn't have screens on the windows. You might have had a screen door, but the windows, you just open them up and flies would come in. So you'd hang these sticky flypaper strips from the ceiling. Anybody remember those days? See, I know how old you are now. And what would happen? The fly would land on that and he couldn't get loose. But have you ever got one of them stuck to your hand? You ever tried to get it loose? It's not easy. It just wants to, you grab it with the other hand, it wants to stick whatever it hits. It's just trying to get rid of this thing and it's trying to stick. Well, see, sometimes, see, the fight of faith to cast your care over on the Lord or to give Him the battle, it's almost like sticky flypaper. Now, let's just be honest about it. Sometimes, you know, you do it, and it seemed like it sticks back. But you have to keep at it. Amen? You have to stay at it. Are you with me now? See, let's look over here, Philippians chapter 4. Let's go there. Let me show you this. I want you to understand. See, sometimes we think, okay, well, I pray, and then, bam, it's just all gone. Well, no, sometimes you have to stick with it, and you have to do it until you got it permanently cast over on Him. See, the Amplified Bible says this, casting your care, in 1 Peter chapter 5, where it says, cast your care on the Lord, for He cares for you. The Amplified Bible says, once and for all. In other words, there has to be a point where you got rid of it, right? Now, I'm not so foolish to tell you the first time you might get rid of all of it. You may have to do a little bit of faith fighting and finally get rid of it all. Amen. But Paul gave us the recipe for doing it. How many know when you're baking something, you should what? Follow the recipe. It's probably important, right? I've told you, and my church doesn't believe, I think sometimes they don't believe I'm telling the truth that I really did this, but I did. You know, I was making cornbread one time, and I was going to have cornbread when Phyllis got home, and I didn't have any milk, and I didn't want to go to the store, and I read where you could use orange juice in a pinch, and I think it was Miss Kay later on told me she saw the same thing, so there you go. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Because some of you would have thought, there's no way you read that, Pastor. You just thought you read that. No, I read it. You could use orange juice in a pinch if you didn't have milk. So I didn't have milk. I put orange juice in the cornbread. Let me tell you something. That article is a lie. because it did not taste like cornbread. It tastes like orange bread. It was not good. But I did see the article, and Miss Kay actually came to me one time and said, "Pastor, I saw the same thing." So there we go. Hallelujah. I didn't just hallucinate that. Amen. Now, Philippians 4, it gives us the recipe for casting our care over on the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and this is the King James, it says, "Be careful for nothing," or "don't be worried or anxious about anything." So what do we got license to be worried about?
Nothing.
So what does that say? Everything we're supposed to cast the battle over on the Lord. It's supposed to be the Lord's battle, not ours. Isn't that something that He cares about us that much that He want to fight our battles?
Yes.
That is something. But in everything, how many things?
Everything.
By prayer and supplication, and everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication with, notice this, thanksgiving. Now, I like to say this. Thanksgiving is the track that the train of faith runs on. You know, a train has to have a track to run on. Faith has a track. It's called thanksgiving. You don't thank somebody unless they did something for you. If I just walked up to you this morning and said, "Hey, thanks," you'd be going, "Well, what did I do?" See, so when you thank God, you're simply saying, "I'm going ahead and thanking you because I believe you've done it. I believe you're going to take care of it." So he said, with thanksgiving, so whatever's bothering you, whatever's troubling you, whatever care, whatever battle you have, he said, first of all, stop worrying about it. Just stop it. And here's how you do it. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Facebook. How many know Facebook isn't God? Oh, I know I blasphemed in some of people's worlds, their Facebook world, but Facebook's not God. God's God. Well, I just want my friends to know all about my troubles. Well, sometimes that could be even more trouble, because if your friends are full of unbelief, that you, who knows what they're going to say and pray. Amen. Let your request be made known unto God. Unto who? Unto God. And, now notice this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that's what we're after, right? The peace of God, right?
Yes.
Well, how do we do it? Well, we got to by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. This is how we take our battle, cast it over on the Lord, and say, "Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm trusting you for the outcome on this. I believe the outcome will be good because you've got it. You can do more with it than I can do with it. I can, you know, I'm only limited, but you're unlimited." Now, remember, I told you that sometimes after you do that, there can be a battle. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, that everything's going to go away. You may have to be persistent at this until you get it once and for all cast over on Him. Amen. Notice Paul gave some instruction. Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there's any praise, think or meditate on these things." So here's what you got to do. After you do that, you got to watch what you're thinking on. Amen. Because the devil is sure enough. I don't like to give him any more credit than he deserves, but he sure enough will come back and remind you about it. "Oh, you better go check on that. Oh, I don't know. I mean, you better do something here. You better worry about it." Listen, how many things is worry fixed? I forget. It might have been Corrie Ten Boom said, "Worry's like a rocking chair." You know, I forget how she said it, but a lot of activity, but you're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Amen. She had a lot of good sayings. You know, I think one thing she said was, you know, worry empties you of your, it doesn't do anything for tomorrow. It just empties you of your strength today. Yep, that's the truth. It doesn't do anything. Well, yeah, but I just want to be responsible. You know what? The most responsible thing you can do is cast your care or your battle over on the Lord. We don't ignore our problems. We don't neglect dealing with issues. We don't neglect but we cast them over on the Lord. That's doing something about them. That's one of the most responsible things we can do, is give it to God and let Him take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. We all have these issues. Now, notice what Paul said, verse 9. He said, "Those things which you both learned and received." What you've learned and received, and heard and seen. See, what's he saying? I've taught you these things by precept and example. Verse 9. "Those things you both learned and received." What he said? I taught you about this. And you've heard and seen in me do. What's he saying? Well, he said, I showed you by precept. I showed you by example. You've heard this in my teaching, and you saw me do it. Now, notice what he said would happen. And the God of peace shall be with you. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's what we want, right? Now, all right, are you still with me now? I want to look at one final scripture this morning. Romans chapter 4. Let's go over there. And I hope you got something out of this today, because we need to learn to cast our battle or our fight over on the Lord. You know, I don't want to, I've told so much, I'm tired of hearing about, the coronavirus, COVID-19, but it's going on, it's in people's mind, people are worrying about it, but I don't like to spend all my time talking about that. But, let's have some good news. But, there's a lot of people that are in fear over this. A lady hit my truck the other day because she's afraid of the coronavirus. I mean, I'm walking out of this, I went in to pick up some food. You can't eat in there, but you go in there and pick your food up. And I'm coming out, and I see this lady backing up, and she doesn't look like she's going to stop. My truck's behind her, and she's backing into this parking space, like parallel parking. Mine's in another spot in front of where she was parking at. And I can see that. I can see she's getting, I think, man, she's not even paying attention to my truck there. So I holler at her, I like my truck, have you know that? I holler, whoa, whoa. Next thing you know, bam. So, I go over there and look at her car and look at my car, and I don't see any damage. They didn't do anything to it. She wasn't going all that fast. But she just told me, I'm just so upset about this virus. Well, you know what? Listen, I'm concerned about people's health. I'm concerned about people being well. I'm not worried about it. I'm not upset about it. I've not lost my mind over it. I got it cast over on the Lord. Right. Now, see, I know there's a lot of people who would see this today and say, well, you're just a nut. Well, I'm healthy. Come on. Amen. So leave me alone. Well, it's working for me. I mean, maybe it doesn't work for you. I don't know what works for you. I know what works for me. I'll just stick with what works for me. Trusting God works for me. Yes. And it'll work for anybody, really. Hallelujah. You mean to tell me God's the answer? God's the answer. Any question you got or anything going on? I'm saying He's going to fix everything in your life. I'm not saying He's going to fix everything going on in our world. Eventually He is. But I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to promise you what He's going to do. You have to talk to Him about it. I know He will fix everything in my life if I cast my care over on Him and let Him fight my battle. I know He'll fix it. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? Every problem the devil brings my way, or life brings my way, or the world brings my way, sickness comes from a lot of different places. People want to, where does the coronavirus come from? Is it God? Is it the devil? What is this? Well, we know the root of all bad stuff is from the devil. The Bible says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we know that's where it came from, right? We know it's not God. Is He going to fix it? Well, I don't know. He would see, a lot of people, they hear that statement, I don't know. Man, what do you mean God might not? Well, I'm not going to tell you what God's going to do. God will do it if you stand in faith and you cast it over on Him, and some might need some repentance here too.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, would he? Yeah, he would. Will he fix everything? No, I don't know that he'll fix everything. He will if you approach him right about it. Remember, we told him to get out of school. We told him to get out of government. We told him to get out of our public life. We told him you're not allowed here, and then we want him to fix it? Now, what would your wife think if your husband said, I'm done with you, get out of the house, leave, before you go, fix me some eggs? I got a feeling you're going to get something upside your head, and it's not going to be eggs. It might be something more metal. See, we try to do God that way. We get out of our lives. We'll only call on you when we need you. I'm going to live the way I want to live. You don't live in sin and disobedience to your word and thumb my nose at you. But when trouble's at, I want to know why you didn't fix it. Well, He didn't fix it because He's not in covenant with you to start with. Is this too strong?
No.
Maybe it is for a live stream. I don't know. But, it's just what the Bible says. Would He fix it? Well, sure, if you come to Him in repentance and humility, who gets grace? Who gets grace?
Humble.
The humble get grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Who gets grace? You humble yourself before God, come before Him. Say, you know, if you need to repent, you might need to. Repent before God. Cast it over on Him. Humble yourselves, as Peter said, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon Him. Give it over to Him. Quit being so proud, thinking you can fix everything. If you give it over to Him, well then, yes, He'd fix it. So the answer to, would God fix everything in your life? Would God fix all of this? Absolutely, He would. If we did it, if we approached Him right and gave it over to Him, He would fix it. But if we don't do it the Bible way or His way, He's not going to do it our way. He's going to do it His way. Absolutely. Hallelujah. See, what men want today is for God to do it my way. He's not going to do it your way. He's going to do it His way. Why? Because His way is the right way. His way is the best way. Is that straight enough? Plain enough? All right. Glory to God. Now, did I tell you to go somewhere? Romans 4. All right. Let's read here. Now, we all know this story. All right. You know, I've told it. Pastor Jerry's told it. Pastor Chuck's told it. You know, over and over, we've talked about Abraham. You know why? Because here's the reason why we talk about Abraham so much sometimes. You think, well, I wish I'd just find somebody else to talk about. Well, Abraham is, the Bible says, he's the father of our faith, in the sense that we're to emulate his faith. So we can learn a lot by Abraham. The Bible gives him as an example of how to operate in faith. So, you know, we all know Abraham and his issue was that God promised him a son, and he's an old man, and his wife is old too. But look what happened here. Romans chapter 4, and this is our final verse today. Verse 19, it says, "And being not weak in faith," talking about Abraham, he was not weak in faith, "he considered not his own body." Well, how many know that was the problem? His body was his problem. His body was his circumstance. But I want you to notice, weak faith doesn't consider the circumstance. Now let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean it ignores the problem. Doesn't mean it ignores the circumstance. It just means it doesn't allow the circumstance to dictate the final outcome. Amen. So, yeah, he knew he had an old body. That's not hard to tell. I can look at my body and tell it's older than it was. I look at Pastor Chuck and I can really tell his. His is older than it was. Look at that. I mean, his hair is all white, but at least he's got hair. Hey, I take white hair over no hair. Well, you can collar it, you know. You can't stick it back in is the problem. Now, so how many know, of course he knew his body was old, right? I mean, I can look at mine. I mean, I don't dwell on it, but I can look at mine and tell I'm getting older. Look, Kenny. I mean, Brother Kenny's been around since the beginning. So obviously he's getting older. So do you think Abraham knew he had an old body?
Yeah.
Do you think he knew his wife was old?
Yeah.
Right? So, but he didn't consider that. That has no factor. But how many know? Now think about that. What is he saying he considered not? He's saying that's not a factor in this. But yet, in the natural, it's all the factor in the world. It's the whole problem. If he's 20 years old, and Sarah's 19, and she's not barren, then there's no problem with having kids. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. See, he said that's not a factor. But really, in the natural, that's the whole problem, is he's old and she's old. She never could have children. But now he's old and he can't have children. But he said, that's not a factor. That's not if God said something. Amen. But notice this. He considered not his own body, now dead, talking about, you know, for reproductive purposes, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I want to leave you with this. You know what? If the battle is the Lord's, it doesn't really matter how big the circumstance is. Abraham had about as big a circumstance as you could get when it come to receiving the promise that God promised him. A child, you're 100 years old, your wife's 90. She never has had children to start with. That's a pretty big circumstance. But Abraham just decided, if the battle's the Lord's, it doesn't matter how big it is. Amen. You know, it wouldn't have mattered whether Goliath was not. You know, I've read about how big Goliath was. I've seen, depend on how big you consider a cubit. But you know what? It doesn't matter where Goliath's 7'7". It doesn't matter where he's 17 foot 7. If the battle's the Lord's, it doesn't matter. You may be facing some really big circumstances today. And you may say, well, Pastor, yeah, you know, I know you cast your care over on the Lord. You know, I know you're supposed to do that. But now, that, of course, you mean now, unless you lose your job. Well, you know, you cast your care over. I know, Pastor, you cast your care over the Lord. Well, unless you have an issue with one of your kids. No, you cast your care over the Lord, period. And it doesn't matter how big the problem is. If God's going to have to fix it, how many know it doesn't matter? I've told this story. I like this story. And this is a true story. It's about a minister that he needed several thousands of dollars for his ministry. He didn't need it personally. Wasn't it for him. But he needed it for his ministry. It wasn't like something he wanted to do, a project he wanted to do. It was like something he had to have. And it was a large sum, you know, six-figure sum that he needed, and he needed it now. And here's what he said. He said, you know, he said, I went to God about it, and he went there, and he was, you know, sometimes we try to make God feel sorry for us, you know. You know what I'm saying, you know, but and I'm sure he probably does. But that's not going to get him to move. Faith gets him to move, amen?
Right.
Come on. If God moved for people that look pitiful, there'd be a lot of people in church that'd be delivered right now. I see pitiful looks a lot of times, you know. I'm thinking they need some help, you know. But God doesn't move that way. He moves because of faith. But anyway, he said he went to God and he began to put on that whining voice. If you were on Pentecostal, you knew what that was. Oh, God, dear God, you know. Or, you know, we change our voice when we talk to God or use King James English. Oh, Lordeth, helpeth meeth. How many know he knows how you talk all week long? You know, you just whine and cry, and then you got his presence. Hey, how you doing, everybody? It's like, why do they act like an idiot when they're with me? Oh, well. You know, why do they act that way? Well, he was doing that kind of praying, and he was going to God, and he was saying, oh, God, he said, I need this money. He called out the amount, and I need it now. He said, just as plain as could be, he said, I heard back in my spirit, how much of it can you come up with? He said, I said back to God, none of it. He said, the Lord spoke back to me. He said, then why don't you shut up about it if I'm going to have to do it all anyway? Hallelujah. Amen. I know you're laughing. Think about it, what God said to him. If I'm going to have to do it, why are you going on about it? Right? See, it doesn't matter how big the problem is. If God's got it, it doesn't matter. Amen. I hope you got something today. We need to learn to cast our care over on the Lord. Let Him fight our battles. What kind of battle are you facing this week? What are you facing right now? I don't know. There's all kinds of things. It could be family issues, marital issues. Now, a lot of people are facing job issues, maybe physical issues. Well, long as you have it, God doesn't have it. But if you let Him have the battle, just like Jehoshaphat did, you know, he listened. When God said, the battle's not yours but mine, they went out. God said, you go out, face them. He said, but you don't fight in this battle. This is mine. They just went out and praised God. Well, if God's got it taken care of, next thing to do is just begin to praise God. Isn't that exactly what Paul said with prayer and supplication? Prayer and make your request be known to God with thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving, praise. So what you need to do is cast this thing over on the Lord and begin to praise God and thank Him for what He's doing and what He's going to do and the victory He's going to give you. Hallelujah. I'm thinking of a scripture. God always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.